Amen, amen. Are you ready for the word of God this morning? I believe the Lord has given me an on-time, today word. I believe the subject matter of which I'm going to preach about here today will cross every cultural line, across wherever stage or point you're at in your life, whether you're highly educated or minimally educated, whether you've got all your needs met or whether or not you need God to do a few things in your life. I believe this word will speak to your heart. So let's get right to it. So if you would, you got your Bibles this morning? You got your Bibles? Let me see your Bibles. We're gonna pass our Bibles next week. We're gonna pass our Bibles. Ain't nobody bringing a Bible anymore. No, I know everybody's just everything is gadgets nowadays. I get it. As long as you all can stay with the Word, thank you, Steve. As long as you all can stay with the Word, I'm perfectly fine with that. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 7, verse 18. Hallelujah. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I don't know if a scripture can speak more highly and clearer to you this morning than Paul speaking on behalf of this particular Roman scripture. And so before you're seated, I need you to understand and talk to somebody and look them dead in the eye and push four people and tell them, I need Jesus. Now tell those same four, you need Jesus too. Tell them. You need Jesus too. Yeah, you need Jesus, man. Somebody yell Jesus.
Jesus.
Come on, somebody yell Jesus.
Jesus,
Jesus is going to get bigger today in our lives. He's going to get stronger today in our lives. You got to yell Jesus, 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 Jesus. Today is a Jesus day. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I love the Old Testament. No doubt I preach a lot out of it. No question. But when I was studying some weeks ago, the Lord said, what do you want me to do? He said, preach me. Talk about Jesus. Jesus. I love David. I love Joshua. I love Hezekiah. I love Daniel. But today, Pastor, preach Jesus. Somebody say, I need Jesus. You need Jesus in your life. You need Jesus to circumvent every portion, every phase of your life. You need Jesus at home. You need Jesus at work. You need Jesus right now. You need Jesus tomorrow. You needed Jesus yesterday. You're gonna need him 2 weeks from now. You need Jesus. Don't ever feel like you ain't ever gonna get to a place where you don't need Jesus. I know that wasn't good English, but it was felt good coming out anyhow. Philippians 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you, this is key, it is safe. Beware of dogs. He's speaking now. Beware of evildoers. Beware of the mutilation. Beware of people in your life that's not in your life for the right reasons. Yeah. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in your flesh. None. Have no confidence in your flesh, Paul says. Don't trust yourself. Okay, all right. Don't trust yourself. You're not as good as what you think you are without Jesus. Oh, my Lord. Okay. Maybe I'm just talking to half of the church this morning. But somebody realizes they ain't nobody without Jesus. Paul says this, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. He's kind of given us his credentials. I'm circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, one of the 12 tribes, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. He's saying, I'm brilliant when it comes to the law. I'm a Harvard grad. I'm an MIT grad. The highest level of education, I understand the Old Testament and the New. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, we know Paul was the best at that. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, he said, I was blameless. I know the law. I know the word. Whole lot of folk know the word, but don't follow the word. I know the word, he said. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. All the giftings, all the things that I know God gave me, I counted them loss for Christ. I wrote it down like this. Preconceived gifts, unearned, can actually create an obstacle for your salvation. See, because the gifts are irrevocable. Because God will give you gifts and won't take them back. You can be gifted, but yet be off. You can be gifted and be mean. But you're gifted. You can sing a song that they say, or tear the house down and be mean as a snake. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Don't publicize the gift without giving credence to the giver. Don't be on any social media talking about all of your gifts without giving God glory for the gifts. The last thing you want God to do is to take his presence and his glory away from him. God enhances what you have. You can't choose your own family. We know that. You can't choose where you're born, where you're raised, what side of town you grow up. You can't choose that. When God gives you something, you must enhance it by giving God glory. Too many people get caught up in themselves. It's not all about you. Okay, great. That's a beautiful house you got, beautiful car you drive, nice clothes you got. To God be the glory. Make sure that you don't make it seem like all this is about you, though. I'm glad you got the promotion, but the promotion comes from the north, not from the north, the south, the east, northwest, but the Bible says promotion comes from God. So if you're a believer, which who I believe you shall to be, give God glory for what he is doing in your life on a consistent basis. Tell somebody, I need Jesus. You don't have to apologize for your gifts. Some of you just gifted. Some of you just unapologetically, you just gifted. Some of you just brilliant. You just smart. Some of you can get a degree in your sleep. You got all kinds. You got master's degrees. Some of you got doctorates. It's no big deal to you. It's no big. Some of you all, and when you were in school, especially, you know, when you were in school age, you just got all A's. Didn't even study. Lord knows that wasn't the case with me. Didn't even study. Think with me. I come from an educated family, but I wasn't gifted with some level of brilliance when it comes to education. I have a college degree, but I'm going to tell you what, now I had to work for this thing, man. I had to work for it. I mean, I had to go to summer school. I had to work for it. I mean, because when I went to college, I thought I was going to the league, NFL. I was like, shucks, I'm going to just play around a little bit until I get drafted, you know, make some money, this, that, and the other. And then I realized right around my senior year, I said, I ain't going to the league. I got to graduate. Sometimes you have to work a little harder One of the things you have to do is that you got to make sure you surround yourself around people that can help you get to. I just want to teach for a minute now. I just want to teach. Because everybody's not always given that audacity of great giftings in certain areas. But then God will. How many of you know God will surround you around people that will help you get to? How many of you can clearly say, I am where I am because somebody helped me? Oh, come on, y'all. There's no question. I know I wouldn't be standing on this stage if it wasn't for my pastor. I'm here because of my pastor. Amen, amen. Romans 7, verse 15. For what I'm doing, I do not understand, Paul said. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that is good. But now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Wait, I just read this, right? For I know that in me, that's in my flesh, nothing good is in there. For the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I don't find. So what Paul is saying, I've got a good heart, but bad flesh. Yes. Some of y'all can attest to that, amen? You got a good, why y'all looking at me like that? Yeah. You got a good heart, just bad. That was David's issue. David had a good heart. He just had bad flesh. But God can work with you in that area, amen? I kind of call this the sin of self-consumption. Yeah. It's called the sin of self-consumption. It's the battle between sin and self. Sin says, I can handle this on my own. Self-awareness realizes without Christ, I cannot accomplish anything. Yeah, sin said, "Oh, I can do this." Let me give you another example. It's you trying to do things within your own strength. Because as Paul said, in your flesh lies no good thing. Ooh, I'm gonna get ahead of myself. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do that I practice. Wait a minute. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Wait a minute. Dwells, that means lives. Dwells, lives. Sin in you lives. You got to deal with it every day. Paul said, I got to crucify my flesh every single day, because as soon as I get a release, something else hits me in my flesh. So stop, don't feel so convicted because you're always dealing with some type of fleshly discourse. It's okay, just deal with it. Just deal with the fact that you got a flesh problem. Oh my Lord Jesus. Just deal with the fact that stuff come to your mind that you're like, where in the world did that come from? Deal with the fact that oftentimes you got to discipline yourself on a daily basis. Stop thinking you strange. Everybody's going through it. Oh, wait a minute now. Wait, can I help at least five or six of y'all that think you graduate from some fleshly concern? Believe you me, I don't care where you are in life. You've got flesh issues going on in your life. Flesh issues isn't just laying around, sexing and drinking and drugging. I'm so much bigger than that. But I'm talking about stinking thinking. Sometimes you just get caught up in the stuff in your mind and you're like, Lord Jesus. Sometimes you just run into folk, you know, sometimes somebody cuts you off, on the street. My Lord, you're like, my God, I want to go up to him and give him the number one right now. Oh, my Lord, okay. Y'all acting way too safe for me this morning. In my flesh lies no good thing. For the good I will to do, I don't do, but the evil I will not to do that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I then find a law. That evil, this is good, everybody, is present with me. The one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mine and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Ooh, that's so power-packed, you all. My Lord. Write this down. You cannot have a positive life and a negative mind. Thank you, Joyce Meyer. Thank you, Joyce Meyer. You can't have a positive life and a negative mind. Some of you all were having some mind concerns this morning. Some of you are having some mind concerns right now. Some of you are having trouble staying with me, staying in church. Some of you, your mind is floating. It's already out of here. It's thinking about what I'm going to eat. I'm tired. What I got to do. How my work week's going. You have to discipline your mind that wherever you are, be there. Say that with me. Wherever you are, be there. You got to discipline your mind to maintain itself here, not to leave, not to go nowhere. You got to discipline your mind to receive, amen? Because this word will break something in your life. People living in the vanity of their own mind not only destroy themselves, but far too often they bring destruction to others around them. It's from Battlefield of the Mind. Some of you know about that book that Joyce Meyer wrote. O wretched, Paul says, which means worthless, man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, my Lord. Paul simply said, I gave y'all the literary of what I'm dealing with. You all see that I'm struggling like a mug. Who will deliver me from what I'm going through? Can I give you a secret? It ain't your pastor. It ain't the first lady. It ain't the worship team. And it ain't a worship song. The only thing that can deliver you from that snake pit called your mind is Jesus Christ himself. Somebody yell, I need Jesus. You need Jesus. So then with the mind, I myself, watch this, I serve the law of God. But with the flesh, wait a minute, the law of sin. Wait, I'm torn, Paul. With my mind, I'm serving the law of God. But with my flesh, I'm serving sin. So I'm in this battle on a daily basis with the law of God and the law of my flesh. So that's why I can praise and still have flesh issues. That's why I can read and still have flesh issues. I can preach and still have flesh issues. I still need God to discipline me in my flesh. Does anybody love Jesus yet have flesh issues? They tried to tell you in the old days that you didn't have no flesh issues, that you get saved and everything go away. Let me tell you, baby, that ain't exactly true. You can get saved today, and you still gonna have some things to deal with in your flesh. Don't you look at me like that. I don't cuss, I don't drink, I don't get into none of that. But I know my flesh still needs to be disciplined. You still gotta discipline your flesh. Don't mess around and get married. You're gonna have to discipline that flesh as a married man. It's not easy. Unless you're married to my wife. It's easy for me, but not for Bill. That's what he told me. He told me when... Stop that. I'm just teasing. I'm going to get Bill in trouble. He didn't say that. He said you're the best wife on the planet. Amen. Ain't that right, Bill? Amen. 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 If I was you, I would have stood to my feet, brother. I would have stood to my feet. No, it's too late now. Too late. So tonight when you... Okay, wait. Let me get back. Some of y'all that went over your head. The law of my... Okay, let me give you these. The law of my mind. Number one, don't avoid the struggle. The struggle is real. Don't avoid it. Don't avoid it. Stop acting like you too saved the struggle. I'm going to help at least five of y'all. I'm telling you right now. Don't avoid the struggle. It's real. Don't minimize your sin as a personality quirk. Just being human. Or God understands. Stop that. Don't you do that. God didn't make you that way. I mean, you know, I just can't help it. I mean, my flesh is just all out of control. I mean, God put me together. I mean, but you know, I think I want to marry him, but I'm not sure. I mean, I might want to find out if he good. I mean, God, no, I mean, I'm the one that got to live with him for the rest of my life. Ooh, I'm messing somebody's apple cart up right now. I'm shaking that thing up. Well, God, no, I mean, I just got an addiction. I just like the smoke. I just got an addiction. God, no. God put me together like this. I just got an addiction. No. What happened is there was an open door. There was an open door, and it was full of the spirit of error and wickedness. And that open door, when it got open, a spirit, oh my Lord, a spirit of defilement crept in. And when that spirit of defilement kept in, because it wasn't dealt with, it has grown. But thanks be unto God, there's a God on high who can deliver you from every setback, every addiction, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself, my Lord. Everything begins and ends in the mind. Y'all see it there. Your mind is the most powerful force on earth. You are who you declare yourself to be. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Watch this. I'm going to do this exercise real quick. Everybody stand on your feet real quick. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. I'm going to ask you who you are. And I just want you to just yell it out loud so that the heavens receive it. Whatever, whomever you say you are, whatever you say you are, yell it out. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Y'all ready? My Lord. I'm going to say, who are you? And then I want you to just shout it out. Who are you? Okay. Let me say this again. Who are you? Okay, you are not who they say you are. Okay, watch. And you are not who you used to be. Y'all sit on down. I need Jesus, somebody say. Because there's a war going on. To win the war within, we must understand the magnitude of inner conflict. So that in despair, we cry out to God for deliverance. You better know the magnitude of the war that's going on around you. You in a war right now. You in a war in your mind right now. That's what's going on. That's why you're so frustrated. You in a war. The devil's after you. The devil don't take time out. He don't call 20-second timeouts. He will come after you vehemently, moment by moment, minute after minute, day after day. But thanks be unto God that I've got Christ Jesus in my life. He might try to hunt me down, but I got Jesus. The only thing he gonna find when he get to me is Jesus on me. 2 Corinthians 10, very familiar. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? War according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what? In God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every what? Every what? into captivity to the obedience, so that every day you must practice bringing every thought into captivity. God cares about every single thought that comes from your mind. And you got to practice discipline when it comes to your thoughts. Oh, Lord Jesus. Is this all right, everybody? And being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is filled. Galatians 5:16, let me keep going. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is good, everybody. He said, walk in the Spirit so that you won't fulfill. So the flesh gives you a line item to fulfill. The flesh gives, it's almost like a menu. The flesh will give you a menu of fulfillment. Do this, do this, do this, do this, do this, cuss her out, do this, sleep with her, smack her, this, that. Don't go to church, don't do this, don't do that. The flesh will give you a smorgasbord of stuff to do which pleases your flesh. Okay, don't raise your hand, but it actually is tantalizing for your flesh to be pleased. I knew everybody was gonna be quiet on that. Ain't nobody raising their hand. Nobody. It's tantalizing to please your flesh. And so Paul says, I'm not going to walk in the dark as though your flesh will not be aroused. Because your flesh will. But you must discipline your flesh by walking in the Spirit and not in. Oh, man, I'm gonna help you, I promise. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, which means there's some type of war going on. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Has anybody had experience with that? I need to talk to somebody that's ever went in. I need to talk to somebody that's ever gone into a room to talk to somebody, and you already had that holy conversation planned, and you went in the room, and all of a sudden, the way it came out was not the way that what you had planned, and you're like, this is not how I saw this going. I said I wasn't going to yell. I said I wasn't going to get upset. Am I talking to at least five of y'all out there? My God, and all of a sudden you need to talk to a few people that's ever gone to the mall and said, I ain't going to buy nothing. I'm just going to look. Matter of fact, I'm going to leave my checkbook at home. All of a sudden you go in there like, oh, Lord, I got to have this. I'm not saying that's sin. I didn't say that. But what I'm talking about is how your mind has to be disciplined. The lust against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, these are contrary to one that studied you. Do not do the things you wish, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Okay. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. That's just chaotic parties. It's just crazy, chaotic parties. And I know none of you have ever been to any crazy, chaotic parties. And he says, and the like. Say the like. I like that Paul says, and the like. I like that because what can happen with a immature believer is that you say, well, none of that stuff listed, I do. So they say, well, I ain't got no adultery. I'm cool. Fornication, I'm good there. Sorcery, I'm good. Hatred, nope. Contentions, jealousies, I'm good. Dissensions, heresies, I'm good. Envy, murder, I ain't never did that. But that's why he says, and the like. Yeah. Anything that bears any level of similarity to this, this is you. Lean on somebody and say, he's talking to you, not me. He's talking to you. He's talking to you, not me. Of which I tell you before, and just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things, oh man, those who practice, boy, do I got it? Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Practice, practice, practice. That means actually get better at it. Practice. Some people actually practice sin. And so you're actually better at it than you've ever been before. You can practice sin. You can fall into a sinful state that all of a sudden you're making an argument that is not even sin. Jesus, Lord, this is good, everybody. Because you've been in it so long and your mind has been confused and warped, you are now walking completely in the lust of the flesh. Because the only thing you're concerned about is pleasing your flesh and not pleasing your spirit. So you're getting it confused and using control. Is your spirit in control or is your flesh in control? Oh, is this good, everybody? Oh, man, it's, ooh. I just see seatbelts on all over the building right now. But the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also what? In the Spirit. Mature believers do not live in perpetual defeat and bondage to sin. Mature believers don't do that. Mature believers don't live in perpetual defeat. Bondage to sin, make excuses for sinful acts, sinful deeds. Your excuses are excuses to God as well. I think sometimes people feel like God is just this loving God. This, and he is all of that. But sin is still sin. And you still have to deal with your flesh on a daily basis. Amen? Ooh, Lord. Walking in the Spirit, let me give you these three things. Number one, that means you're consistent and disciplined in your thoughts. Number two, you exude empowering and encouraging words. And number three, you live to serve via the direction and deeds of Holy Spirit. So the big three things are thoughts, words, deeds. Those are the big three. Thoughts, the way I think. Words, what I say. Deeds, what I do. You have never said anything that you didn't think about. Let that sink in. You've never said anything that you didn't initially think about. Most dissensions, most reveries, most arguments, most things that don't eventually lead to anything have already been thought out before. Already. I've said this and I've learned this going on 16 years of marriage next month. I have learned more of what not to say than what to say. Can I get an amen from any husband in here right now? I have done more. You know what? Never mind. It's cool. Were you going to say something? Nah, it's cool, babe. It's cool. I'm good. I thought you were going to say something. Nah, it's good. You know where that comes from? What happened 3 weeks ago? I'm not saying that in a literal sense. But what happens is that when you go through stages in life, and sometimes your mouth, so anybody's mouth ever get ahead of your thoughts? And you do know you can't take that back, right? You can't take words back. Okay. You can be forgiven, but you can't take them back. Y'all okay out there? Y'all okay? Can I give you a little bit more? 1 John 3:1-3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. That's so good, everybody. Everyone who has this hope, somebody say hope, in him purifies himself just as he is. So what do you say? I'm saying it's not God's responsibility to deal with your flesh. It's yours. God has given you the power to deal with you. Because someone was, oh, well, Lord, just deal with my flesh. Lord, deal with me. Lord, just help me just deal with my flesh. And the Lord's like, I've already empowered you to do that. What are you going to do while I'm helping you? You do know that God will not go past your will. I've been saying for years, God didn't create us to be robotic. We're not robotic. We're not puppeteered. You can do what you want to do when you want to do it. But he's a God that wants to be loved. That's why Matthew 11:28 says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Come to me. God wants to be wanted. So you just can't walk in this place in life. Well, if God wanted me to do this, and then he would make me like this, and God wanted me to do this, and he would make. No. You got responsibility in this life that you've got to take matters for what you're supposed to do. Amen, everybody. I want to give you just two words, just from an educational aspect, just something for you to study. I won't spend long here. One is Gnosticism. Just a couple of beliefs here, because a lot of times we get caught in this stuff and we don't quite understand what it is, and these words help to explain it. Gnosticism, which basically is knowledge is the way to salvation. That's what a Gnostic believes. And the body itself is prone to evil. So our bodies are evil anyway. So we might as well do what we want to do, because our bodies were created to be evil. Or asceticism. It says, since the body is evil anyway, you might as well indulge it with sexual immorality, drunkenness, deceit, and the like. That's the key word again. The like. Say the like. Now, this has what I call the spirit of error on it. It has the spirit of error. We won't go into that. That's much too long. But I wanted to give you a couple of those things that, because those are a lot of the beliefs out there. That's why you got so much confusion. We've never had a time in our planet, I don't think, where there's been more confusion. Like, who am I? And what was I created to be? And, am I this? Am I that? Am I serving God? Am I serving the world? Was I born this way? Am I a man or am I a woman? Am I marry a man? Am I going to marry? It's just confusion that has just hit the earth. But believe you me, God is not worried. God is not frantic. These days have been predicted from the beginning of time. But let me say this. Will the real believers please stand up? Will the folk who are following Christ please stand up and give God glory? This has nothing. Hear me. Y'all can sit down. This has nothing to do with love. God loves everybody. I don't care. You're gay, straight, bisexual, transsexual, pansexual. I'm hearing all kinds of stuff. Now I'm like, what in the world is pansexual? But it's just all, and I don't say that in jest. I don't, hear me. I'm much more mature than that. Much more mature. I don't trip on that. I don't get into that joking about homosexuality and all that nonsense. That's just buffoonery. That's just buffoonery. And anybody that does that, especially in my position, man, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. It's not about whether or not God loves you. We know that. But you've got to be renewed in your mind. Somebody say, I need Jesus. I want to finish here in this particular passage of script here in Mark. Somebody yell, I need Jesus. The Bible says, Mark 10:46, turn to it. We're going to wind home right here. The Bible says now they came to Jericho. Say Jesus. And as he went out of Jericho, I don't have time to unpack the whole thing, but Jericho was already a prophetic place. Elijah and Elisha had spent some time there, and the Bible says that Jesus and his disciples are coming out of Jericho. And this man named blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, the Bible calls him, he was a blind beggar. But the Bible says that this blind beggar is right here, not too far from Jericho. And Jesus and his disciples are leaving Jericho and they're headed down the road. And the Bible says that this blind man named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, he hears this commotion going on. Now, he's blind and he's begging, but he hears this commotion going on, and he's trying to figure out, what is this commotion? Now, many have asked, was he blind from birth? The Bible does not go into that, but he may have been. The Bible says, don't take away nor add to. We don't see any point in time where blind Bartimaeus actually could see. So we'll just say blind Bartimaeus is blind and had been blind for some time. And he hears this commotion coming out of this place called Jericho, and it's Jesus and his disciples, and this blind beggar is there begging, and he got folk around him too. And so all of a sudden he's saying, what is this commotion that's coming by me? And because what you may not understand is that even though the man was blind, what happens is that when you lose one sense, the other sense actually increases. I was actually looking at a study on this. It's actually called the visual cortex. It's like when your vision is no longer there, all of a sudden your auditory, the way that you hear, it just increases. Why is this so important? Because I know that Jesus and his crew were not the first crew to pass up the blind beggar. But there was something about the commotion that was leaving Jericho that was passing blind Bartimaeus. And he hears this commotion and he's saying, what is going on? Then the Bible says he heard it was Jesus. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. Wait, I don't read anywhere in the Bible where anybody told him it was Jesus. But there was something that the blind man felt in his spirit. And Jesus and the disciples are going by. The Bible says he heard it was Jesus, and he says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Wait a minute, you all. Wait. Jesus, Son of David. I'm going to address that here in a minute. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David. He's blind. He can't see. He heard it was Jesus. He didn't see Jesus, but he heard it was Jesus. Have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Everybody around, they saying, shut up. Be quiet. Leave him alone. He about his business. The Bible says he yells out even louder. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. As if to say, maybe you don't need him as bad as I need him. Yeah. Maybe you don't know what I did last night and I need mercy. Maybe you don't know how I still need God to heal my mouth and I need mercy. Maybe you don't know I've been out of my mind as of lately and I need mercy. Maybe you don't know I need a breakthrough in my life and I need mercy. You telling me to shut up because you don't need him maybe as much as I... And they worried about, they looking at you funny. You trying to get into praise and worship. They don't take all of that. Well, maybe you don't need God like I need God. Maybe you ain't never been blind before. Maybe you ain't never been at a place where you needed God. His friends trying to shut him up. Some of you all can identify with that. Friends trying to shut him up. Leave him alone. He's not thinking about you. You've been down here for days. Jesus not thinking about you. It was as if Bart said, man, I ain't thinking about y'all. This is my opportunity. Don't you miss your opportunity, hear me? Don't you, listen, hear me when I say this. Don't you let your friends frustrate your faith. Don't you, oh, that's good, everybody. Don't you let your friends frustrate your faith. Your friends will mess you up. Oh, God don't hear you. God ain't thinking about that. God done forgot about you. The devil is a liar. I know God hears me when I cry. I know God hears me. I know this is my opportunity. This is what I call power-packed in mercy. Yeah, it's power-packed. Power-packed in mercy. Yeah. See, because they don't know why. They didn't know why Bartimaeus said, have mercy. But they don't know why Bartimaeus said, see, the thing about it, like, the people around you, they know you, but they don't really know you. Is it a few of y'all that looked at a couple of your friends and you just said, if you only knew? Let me talk to five or six of y'all that's blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed. And all of a sudden your friends come around and they all in awe. They in wild about what God has done in your life. And you look at them and you say, baby, if you only knew what God has done in my life. If you only knew the mercy that it took. If you only knew the grace that it took. If you only knew, I might be blessed now externally. But guess what, baby? I always been blessed. I was blessed when I was broke. Yeah. I was blessed when I didn't have nothing. I'm not blessed because of what I got. I'm blessed because I'm blessed because of who I am. I'm blessed because I'm born again. I'm blessed because he was raised from the dead for my life. I'm blessed because greater is thy mercy. Maybe Bartimaeus had a song in him. Maybe when this pregnant potential moment came on, that maybe Bart was reminded of a song that now we sing today. Y'all remember that song? I need the old. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all already know. Hey. If you know it, stand to your feet.
I need thee.
Come on.
Oh, bless me now, my.
Maybe Bartimaeus was saying that.
I need.
Come on, y'all. Yeah, that was part of me.
Oh, bless me now.
Watch this. One moment of saying, God have mercy, can be power packed with that song. The very fact that Bartimaeus said, Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, mercy was a song. Sometimes you don't have time to sing eight bars. Sometimes you just say, God have mercy. Have mercy. We made this thing way too difficult. Like you got to go into some 8-minute prayer. Sometimes you just say, God, have mercy on me. Help me, God. Have mercy on my soul. The Bible says that Jesus is walking. Jesus hears. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Yeah, he had sensory deprivation. He couldn't see. He couldn't see. He had sensory deprivation, but yet audibly, it was celebrated. So he says it. He says, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Because, watch this, everybody. Because when he hit Jesus with the second one, the Bible says, Jesus walking with his disciples. Wait a minute, Pastor. So the first time that Bartimaeus called him, he was still walking. He don't always come when you want him. I'm telling you what the text said. I'm not making anything up. The Bible says that Jesus walking with his disciples in the second time. Because when they told him to hush, he got so loud. I bet everybody in that territory. See, the thing about it is that when you get desperate to God, your yell for Jesus will wake a whole lot of people up around you. Because the Bible says he stood still. The Bible said he stood still. So all of a sudden he's walking and that second one hit him. Can y'all see? He stood still when he... And you know, if he stood still, the whole crew stood still. He walking with his disciples. So it's like everybody was like, boop. Bible says he went back. Come on up here. Just stay down, stay down, stay down, stay down. Stay down. So the Bible says he went back. Do you all understand that Jesus had already walked past him? Somebody need to know, it's not that he don't see you. He just want to know how bad do you want him? How bad? How bad do you want him? He comes back to the man. He simply says, what can I do for you? All Bart says, that I can see. Jesus simply says, doesn't touch him. He says, your faith has made you whole. Wait. Jesus is so off the hook, everybody. That's so good, everybody. He didn't lay hands. He didn't spit on him. He didn't shake him. He didn't do none of that. He said, boy, your faith has made you whole. I got to give you this because I missed it. And Holy Spirit just showed me, because I got to give you these three words, because what blind Bartimaeus said, somebody say Jesus. There were three things that blind Bartimaeus said that are so incredible. One, he calls him Jesus. Number two, he captured and parallels that with Son of David. He says, Jesus, who is Christ, Christos, son of David, whom is the name for the coming Messiah. So, son of David means that Bartimaeus knew that this was the man spoken in messianic prophecy. This was the man spoken in messianic prophecies. Jesus, son of David. Jesus, Messiah. Jesus, the one spoken in messianic prophecies. Jesus, the real one. There were other false prophets, but Jesus, son of David. And before Jesus speaks that healing over him, when Jesus asks him, "What can I do for you?" he then says, "Rabboni." Jesus, son of David, Rabboni. What he does is he confirms who he's talking to. And once that is confirmed, you best believe, baby, you're going to be healed in the name of Jesus. Somebody give God some praise right there. The Bible says immediately he received his sight. Oh, but it didn't stop there, everybody. Push somebody and say, he followed Jesus. Oh, my Lord, right there. There it is, right there. Push the other person and say, he followed Jesus. Okay, so this just wasn't about sight being seen. This was about Jesus getting a witness in his crew. So now Jesus has got a real live witness walking around with him. Oh, that's so good, everybody. Is anybody a witness in this place right now? Tell somebody I'm a witness. Push three people and say, I'm a witness. I'm a witness. Come on. Come on. That was a wrong person. Push two people and say, I'm a witness. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. Somebody yell, I need Jesus. Come on. Somebody yell, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Come on, give God some praise right there. Lift your hands all over the building. And I know you're here. I know I'm speaking to you this morning. You said, Pastor Locke, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need him. I need him. I'm at a conflicting place right now. I need Jesus. I got stuff going on in my life. I need Jesus. Some of you will say, you know, Pastor, my life's never been better. Health is good. Family's good. Money's good. But I realize the only way I got here is because of Jesus. I clearly realize that. And I know I need him more today than what I've ever needed them in my life. So I'm speaking to you, and I know I am. I want you to just meet me at the altar right now. You just bombarding this altar. You said, I need Jesus. Come on, come on, come quickly, come quickly, come quickly. Come on, come on, come on. Move from right where you are. Just say, I need Jesus. Just come down here. Come to the altar. Say, I need Jesus. I need him. I need him. I need him. Saved, unsaved. This is a blanket altar call. Come to this altar right now. I need Jesus. I need him. I need more. I need more. I need more. It's not even necessary. I need him to do so. I just need more of him. Come on, bombard this altar right now. Come, 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 come quickly. Come quickly. Saying, I need Jesus, Pastor. I need him. I need him. I need him desperately. Just receive. Just receive right where you are. Just receive.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling.
Come on, keep coming. come, and as the Holy Spirit is pressing the small of your back.
Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
Yes, just receive.
Oh, come to the altar.
Yes, God.
The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was brought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Just receive. Yes, God. We need you, Lord.
Behind your regrets and mistakes.
Listen to every word.
Today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy.
Yes.
From the ashes,
yes,
a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness,
yes, yes,
was,
yes,
bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The boy. the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, love you. Oh, hallelujah.
Can somebody say thank you, Jesus? I know the room is majority believers. Majority of you probably are saved. Love the Lord. You let new God do things in your life. But is there anyone here today? This I need Jesus message that just says I want to take opportunity and make a fresh commitment to Jesus Christ. this moment to pass without making a fresh commitment. I want to read. Some of you may be saved, you may just be in a state where you just need to repent. Turn away. Give your life to Jesus. A state of repentance. If that's here, if that's you here, standing here in front of me, or you're anywhere in the sanctuary, just lift your hand. If that's you, just lift your hand. You say, you know what, I want to make a fresh commitment today to Jesus. I don't want to miss this. Say, Pastor, I've been off. Carla, pray with her. Right there. Bless your name. Bless your name. Isn't he wonderful, y'all? Isn't he wonderful? He's so wonderful. He is so, so wonderful. He is so wonderful. Sunday of the month here, May 6, 2018. I want us to partake of communion together. So if you would, just get your minds, hearts, and your spirits ready to just receive. Souls for the Lord here at this altar now. Come on, let's lift a thunderous applause, you all. Anytime. Remember, we got blind Bartimaeus in the building, you all. When you're desperate, sometimes people don't understand your desperation. Asking each of you all to evaluate yourselves where you are in the Lord. Clarity, your communion with God. Asking each of us to repent of anything that has caused anything to get in the way of your purified relationship with the Father. So as a body of Christ, I want us to do this together. Father, we just repent right now of anything that has caused any division, any odds, any hurt, any dissension, anything, Lord God, that has caused a wedge to come between who we are. We ask, Lord God, for your forgiveness right now. In the name of Jesus. Prayed that prayer, remember, you must be cleansed from anything. The Bible says you receive of this communion, have anything in you that is against your brother, your sister, your neighbor, whomever. The Bible says you can bring damnation upon your own body. Communion is so pivotal that it is sacred unto the Lord. Amen. I've taught you over the years, you don't have to just have communion in church. Have communion in your own household. Remember, he said, this do as often as you like in remembrance of me. Bless your name. received from the Lord, that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take the bread. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us drink. Somebody say, "Thank you, Lord." Be refreshed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to bask in the presence. Thank you for what you've done for us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that you are soon to come again. Thank you, Lord, that we are desperate for your presence. Thank you that we are desperate for your glory. Thank you, Lord. And we say as a body of Christ, not only for this church, but for the church that follows Jesus Christ of Nazareth worldwide, we say, "Lord, have mercy upon us, and we need you desperately, Lord God. We need you in every area of our lives. We need you in our schools. We need you in our government. We need you in our households. We need you on our jobs. We need you in our relationships, Lord. We need you. We need you in every area of our lives." Somebody say, "We need you, Jesus." May you have a power-packed week, understanding in every phase and function of your life how much you need Jesus. I pray that you don't have to scurry right after, and you can meet us down at the other building just for a bit of fellowship. You don't have to eat if you don't want to, whichever. You can just stop by and just say hello. We got tables set up so you won't have to stand up or nothing like that. But again, I'd love for you all to join us here in just a few moments. It's time to speak the blessing, and if you would, just lift your hands all over the building. And please don't forget about Wednesday midweek service. It's not an appetizer, it's a full meal. Amen. Amen. I'll be finishing a series called Power, Wednesday, 7 p.m. I look forward to seeing you there. Keep your eyes open. I'm not praying for you, but we are speaking the blessing. We believe the blessing will keep you. Somebody say, "I'm blessed." We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name in all the earth. We bless you going, and we bless you coming. Bless every portion and phase of your life. We bless your homes, your jobs. We bless your health. We bless your mind right now. May your mind be stayed on Jesus. Certainly we bless your finances. And we tell you each and every week, I truly believe in my heart that you are living your best days right now. Claim your victory even if it don't look victorious. Amen. Listen, we tell you all each and every week as God has only given us one life to live, be excited, be energetic, be full of life, so much so that you do what? I want you to love on somebody, if you would, before you leave here. We love you. God bless you. Y'all the best. Have an amazing, amazing weekend. Hopefully see you here in just a moment.